Hey everyone, and welcome to our deep dive today. We're gonna be kind of exploring something a little different today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna be looking at Joshua's farewell speeches.
Okay.
You know, like those moments when a leader's kind of like,
Right at the end.
nearing the end of their journey
Yeah.
and they're sharing their heart and all this kind of hard-won wisdom they've picked up along the way.
It's powerful stuff.
It is fascinating stuff.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you get a real sense of rawness and vulnerability in these speeches that you don't always get in sort of typical historical accounts. We're looking at two specific addresses that Joshua gives. The first is more intimate. It's to the leaders who've gathered in Shiloh. And that's in Joshua chapter 23. And then later he gives a more formal address at a covenant renewal ceremony in Shechem. And that's found in Joshua 24.
So we've got two different speeches.
Yeah.
And what I think is really interesting is that these aren't just dry, like, historical records.
No, they're not.
These speeches actually wrestle with some pretty, like, timeless and universal themes.
Definitely.
We're talking about, like, faithfulness and leadership and the challenge of staying true to your beliefs
Yeah.
when maybe it seems like everyone around you is kind of doing their own thing.
It's like he gives us a window into what it really means to lead, even in like a sacred text. Yeah.
So let's jump into that first farewell speech in Joshua 23.
Okay.
One thing that really struck me was how emotionally charged it is.
Yes, very much so.
It almost feels like we're getting this like stream of consciousness glimpse into his heart. You know, he's talking about God's faithfulness
Yeah.
throughout their journey. And there's this one line that I just think is so powerful.
Okay.
He says, "Not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you."
You know, you can almost feel like the weight of all of those years of experience as he speaks. And it makes me think about those poignant final words, moments we find with other leaders in the Bible, like Jacob, Moses, David.
It makes them feel so human.
Yes, it does. It humanizes them. It shows us that even these giants of the faith wrestled with doubts and fears and the need for reassurance.
And it makes you think about those moments in your own life too,
Now.
where, you know, maybe you've seen those promises fulfilled, or maybe you've questioned whether you're on the right track.
Totally.
But then Joshua goes on to make this plea to the Israelites
Okay.
to cling to their God. I don't know why, but for some reason, I just thought about this image of trying to pry a pin from a monkey's grasp.
Yeah.
Talk about clinging.
Talk about clinging. That's really interesting you say that because the Hebrew word for cling, dabak, is actually related to the word for glue. So it's not just this casual or convenient kind of faith that he's advocating for here. He's calling for this bond that's so strong, that's so unwavering, that it's as if they are inseparable. And that takes work. That takes intentionality. Like, think about the things that matter most to you in your life. How do you cultivate those relationships? How do you pursue those goals? How do you live out those values? It takes a lot of effort.
It really does.
And it's a daily choice. It's a daily choice to prioritize and nurture those things.
That's such a good point. It's not just about saying you believe something, it's about actually living it out every single day and making those choices that reflect that deep connection.
Exactly. And that's where things start to get really interesting because Joshua goes on to warn the Israelites. He says, failing to fully drive out the remaining Canaanites
Whoa.
is going to lead to major trouble.
Uh-oh.
He even uses the phrase thorns in your flesh.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds like trouble.
Talk about foreshadowing. It's like he can sense this
He
potential
has
for
that
things to
instinct.
unravel. And it's important to remember the context here. The book of Joshua begins with Israel triumphantly settling in the promised land. But if we fast forward to the book of Kings, it ends with their exile. So Joshua's giving this crucial warning. He's basically saying, look, we've come so far. God has been incredibly faithful, but the work isn't over. We can't afford to become complacent or compromise our commitment. And that's such a powerful message for us today, too.
It is. You know, don't let the victory lull you into this false sense of security.
Exactly.
The battle for your heart, the battle for your faithfulness.
Yeah.
That's an ongoing battle.
It's an ongoing battle. And this is a great segue into Joshua's second speech.
Okay.
Which is in Shechem, okay. Joshua chapter 24.
Right.
Now here, Joshua gives this sweeping review of Israel's history.
Okay.
And he drops this detail that totally caught me off guard.
Okay.
Did you know that even Abraham's family initially worshipped other gods? I know, right?
I did not know that.
It's a detail that often gets overlooked.
Yeah.
But it really challenges our assumptions.
Yeah.
About the history of Israel's faith.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds us that even the patriarchs,
right,
those considered the founders of this faith,
yeah,
came from a background of polytheism.
Wow.
So this really emphasizes that transformation is a process.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a one-time event.
Right.
God meets us where we are.
Yeah.
But he calls us to something more.
That's really interesting. And, you know, that idea of a gradual turning away mm-hmm. from other gods mm-hmm. is actually pretty relevant to our lives.
Yes.
We might not have literal idols in our homes.
Right.
But what are the things that compete for our time, mm-hmm. our attention? Our devotion.
Yeah.
You know, it could be anything, really. Material possessions, status,
yeah.
the need for approval, unhealthy relationships.
Yeah, you've hit on a really important point. The concept of foreign gods.
Right.
It's not limited to ancient deities.
Right.
It's a metaphor for anything that we allow to take precedence yes. over our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that becomes a barrier to our faithfulness.
Yeah. And you know what? Even after all that they had been through,
yeah.
some Israelites were still worshiping other gods. I know.
Yeah.
It's like even in the midst of victory,
yeah.
faith is this constant struggle.
Yes, and that's what makes these speeches so relatable.
Right.
They remind us that none of us are immune mm-hmm. to temptation or doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Even those who've witnessed incredible miracles,
yeah.
even those who have experienced God's faithfulness firsthand,
right.
can still struggle to yeah. stay true to their commitment.
It's humbling.
It really is. And Joshua's response to this is fascinating.
Okay.
He doesn't sugarcoat things.
Okay.
He says, you will not be able to serve the Lord. He will not forgive your transgressions.
Whoa. That sounds harsh.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But you have to consider the context.
Okay.
It's not meant to be a condemnation.
Okay.
It's more of a wake-up call.
Right.
It's a challenge to really examine the sincerity of our faith.
Yeah.
And the depth of our commitment.
Uh-huh.
He's saying half-hearted devotion isn't going to cut it.
Right. Like, don't kid yourself.
Exactly.
You can't play both sides. Choose this day whom you will serve.
That's right. And I love that he uses this physical stone
right.
as a symbol yeah. of their renewed covenant with God.
Mm-hmm. Powerful visual reminder.
It is. What about us?
Yeah.
Do we have any symbolic reminders
right.
of our commitments?
Yeah, that's a good question. It makes me think about...
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm a little curious about something you said.
Okay.
You mentioned a connection between Joshua writing down the covenant.
Yes.
And instructions for a good king in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that. Could you elaborate on that a bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So in Deuteronomy 17,
okay.
there's this passage that outlines the guidelines for how a king should rule in Israel. And one of the instructions is that the king should write for himself a copy of the law.
Oh.
And read it every day.
Interesting.
And the purpose of that was to keep him grounded in God's word.
Okay.
To prevent him from becoming arrogant.
Right.
Or straying from that path of righteousness.
Gotcha.
So when we see Joshua writing down the covenant,
mm-hmm.
it echoes this instruction for good kingship.
Right.
He's not just leading by word,
mm-hmm.
but by deed. He's modeling the behavior he's calling the people to.
Right. And that brings up a really interesting question about leadership and legacy.
Yeah.
Do you think Joshua's leadership really had the lasting impact that he hoped for?
That's a great question.
The book doesn't say that the Israelites faithfully followed God until this day.
Right.
Which is a phrase we see a lot in the book of Joshua.
It is.
It kind of feels like a subtle hint.
Yeah.
That something's not quite right.
Like a little bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens next? Did Israel stay true to this covenant?
Yeah. And when you consider the chaos that unfolds in the book of Judges.
Right.
Where it says everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you wonder.
Right.
If Joshua's leadership really took root in a lasting way.
It's like they forgot everything he taught them.
Yeah.
About remaining faithful and united.
And that really highlights the need to not just lead in the present.
Right.
But to prepare for the future.
Right.
It's about developing leaders who will carry the torch, who will embody those same values and principles.
So are you saying that Joshua didn't do a good job preparing?
Well, I wouldn't say he didn't do a good job, but
okay.
But it makes you think about organizations or movements that have successfully navigated these leadership transitions.
Yeah.
What factors contributed to their ability to keep going after a founder or a key leader is gone?
That's a great question. You know, it makes me think about the importance of mentorship.
Yes.
Investing in the next generation of leaders.
Absolutely.
And empowering them to step into their roles.
Empowering others.
Yes.
And speaking of empowering others,
yeah.
One detail that always kind of fascinates me is that Joshua, unlike Moses, didn't have a designated successor.
Oh, that's true.
The text doesn't say why this is.
Right.
But you have to wonder if it played a role in the instability that followed.
It's possible.
Moses had a clear process of handing things over to Joshua,
right,
which probably helped.
Yeah.
And it really highlights this need for succession planning.
Okay.
Even in faith communities.
And, you know, it's interesting to think about how these themes of leadership and faithfulness play out in our own lives.
Yes.
We might not be leading nations or armies.
Right.
But we each have spheres of influence, our families, our workplaces, our communities.
Absolutely.
How can we apply these lessons from Joshua's farewells to our own roles as leaders, as mentors, as influencers?
Great question. It's a great question. And it's something we're going to unpack a lot more in part two of our deep dive.
That's good.
But before we move on,
okay,
I did want to touch on one final detail from this section that really resonated with me.
Okay.
It's this account of Joseph's bones.
Oh, yeah.
Finally being buried in the promised lands centuries after his death.
Such a beautiful moment.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It speaks to this fulfillment, not only of a personal wish,
right,
but of a national destiny.
It really does. It underscores this enduring power of promises and that deep connection between a people and their land.
It's a reminder that even when things seem delayed or impossible, God's faithfulness ultimately prevails.
Okay, well, we've covered so much ground already.
We have.
Let's take a quick break here.
It's good.
And we'll come back with part two in a moment.
Okay.
You'll want to stick around because we're going to really unpack the implications of all of this.
Yeah, we will.
And what it means for our lives today.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Joshua's farewells. You know, before the break, we were talking about the burial of Joseph's bones in the promised land.
Right.
And how it just really points to that fulfillment of promises and like that deep connection between people and their land.
Absolutely.
I don't know about you, but like all this talk about faithfulness and foreign gods, it really got me thinking.
Well, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
How these themes from thousands of years ago are still so relevant to us today.
Totally. We might not be like building altars to Baal or Asherah or something.
Right.
But we definitely have our own set of modern day idols.
Absolutely.
Like things that we prioritize above everything else.
Think about what consumes our thoughts and our time and our energy.
Yeah.
It could be anything. Career ambitions,
yeah,
material possessions, the pursuit of status or approval, maybe even an unhealthy obsession with social media.
Yeah.
Like these can all easily become foreign gods if we let them take center stage in our lives.
It's true. It's like we're constantly being bombarded with these messages telling us what to buy, how to look, who to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to get caught up in that comparison game and lose sight of what truly matters.
And that's where this idea of clinging comes back into play.
Right.
That intentional choice to prioritize our relationship with God and to align our lives with his values.
Right. Remember that Hebrew word dabak?
Yes.
You know, implying that strong bond.
That unbreakable bond.
Yeah.
That takes work.
Yeah.
It takes intentionality.
Right. How do we do that?
Yeah. How do we do that?
In a world that's just constantly vying for our attention.
It's the million-dollar question.
Yeah. It's easy to talk about it.
Yeah.
But to actually live it out day after day, that's a whole different story.
You're right. It's not a one-time decision. It's an ongoing process of choosing, of prioritizing.
Yeah.
It's about establishing those rhythms and practices that keep us grounded, that remind us of what truly matters.
So what are those for you?
Yeah. What are your stones of remembrance?
Yeah.
Those things that help you stay focused when those inevitable storms of life come.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's definitely like a combination of things. Yep. My morning routine of prayer and journaling, that's essential for me.
Yeah.
It helps me center myself and connect with a sense of purpose before the day's chaos kind of sets in.
Right.
And then also spending time in nature.
Yes.
You know, disconnecting from the digital world, just being present in the moment.
Yeah.
Those things always help bring me back to a place of peace.
I love that. Those are great examples of how we can actively nurture that connection with God in our everyday lives. And it makes me think about the importance of community.
Yes.
And surrounding ourselves with people who will support us and encourage us.
Yes. It's so easy to feel isolated and discouraged when you're trying to live out your faith in a world that often feels hostile or indifferent.
Absolutely.
So having that supportive community can make all the difference.
It really can.
Yeah.
And this brings us back to a point we touched on earlier, this challenge of preparing for the future.
Right.
And passing on the torch of leadership.
Right. You know how the book of Joshua doesn't explicitly say that they remained faithful until this day?
Right.
Right. It almost feels like a little bit of a...
Like a subtle hint.
Yeah, that things might not go as smoothly as Joshua hoped.
Exactly. And when we move into the book of Judges...
Yeah.
We see that fear realized.
Right.
You know, the nation descends into this chaos.
Right.
With each tribe doing what's right in their own eyes.
Right. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
It paints a pretty stark picture.
Yeah.
Of what can happen when there's a leadership vacuum.
It's like they forgot everything Joshua had taught them.
Yes.
About remaining faithful and united.
And it underscores this importance of... not just leading in the present, but preparing for the future.
Right.
It's about developing leaders.
Right.
Who will carry the torch.
Yeah.
Who will embody
those
same values and principles.
Are you saying Joshua didn't do a good job preparing for that?
Well, I wouldn't say he didn't do a good job, but it makes you think about organizations or movements that have successfully navigated these transitions.
Right.
What contributed to their ability to kind of keep going?
Yeah. What made them successful?
Yeah. After that. Founder or key leader is gone?
That's a good question. It makes me think about the importance of mentorship.
Yes.
You know, investing in that next generation of leaders and empowering them.
Empowering others.
To step into those roles.
Absolutely. And speaking of empowering others, one detail that always kind of fascinates me is that Joshua, unlike Moses, didn't have a designated successor.
Right. He didn't...
The text doesn't explicitly say why.
Right.
But you have to wonder if that played a role in the instability that followed.
It's possible, yeah.
Moses had a clear process of handing things over to Joshua, which probably helped this need for succession planning.
Yeah.
Even in faith communities.
That's a good point. You know, it's interesting to think about these themes of leadership and faithfulness and how they play out in our own lives.
Yes.
We may not be leading nations or armies, but we each have our own spheres of influence.
Oh, absolutely.
Our families, our workplaces, our communities.
Yeah.
So how can we apply these lessons from Joshua's farewells to our own roles as leaders, as mentors, as influencers?
That's a fantastic question.
Yeah.
And one that we're going to dive into a lot more in the final part of our deep dive.
That's good.
But before we move on, I did want to touch on one final detail from this section that really resonated with me.
Okay.
It's this account of Joseph's bones.
Oh, yeah.
Finally being buried.
Yes.
In the promised land.
Centuries after his death.
I know. It's such a beautiful and poignant moment.
It is.
And it speaks to this fulfillment not only of a personal wish, but also of a national destiny.
Right. It really does. It underscores that enduring power of promises and that deep connection between a people and their land.
It's a reminder that even when things seem delayed or impossible, God's faithfulness ultimately prevails.
That's powerful stuff. Well, we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
But we've got one more part to this deep dive.
Yes.
So stick around. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back for the final part of our deep dive into Joshua's farewell speeches. And, you know, we've talked about
a lot.
The raw emotion of those final words, the challenges of leadership and faithfulness. But I think the big question is, so how does all this ancient history connect to our lives today?
that's the key, isn't it? Bridging that gap between the ancient and the modern.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
We may not be facing literal Canaanites.
Right.
Or building altars to foreign gods.
Yeah.
But those core struggles
yeah.
that Joshua and the Israelites faced, they're so similar
right.
to what we deal with today.
It's like that saying, history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes.
Exactly.
We're still wrestling with those same questions of commitment, integrity, and you know how to live a life that really matters.
And think about it. What are our modern day Canaanites?
Right.
What are those things that tempt us to compromise?
Yeah.
To settle for less than our full potential?
Well, we talked about those modern foreign gods earlier.
Yeah.
You know, that relentless pursuit of success, the allure of material possessions, the constant need for validation on social media. It's easy to get caught up in that hustle.
It is.
And lose sight of what really matters.
It's that feeling of being pulled in 1,000 different directions.
Ah.
And it's in those moments that Joshua's call to cling becomes so important. Remember that Hebrew word, dabak?
Yeah.
That unbreakable bond.
Right.
But how do we cultivate that in a world that's constantly vying for our attention?
That is the question. It's easy to talk about commitment.
It is.
And faithfulness. But to actually live it out day after day, that's a whole other thing.
You're right. It's not a one-time decision.
Right.
It's a constant process of choosing, of prioritizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having those rhythms,
okay.
those practices in your life that keep you grounded,
right.
that remind you of what truly matters.
Right.
So what are those stones of remembrance for you?
Yeah.
You know, those things that help you stay focused when the storms hit.
Well, for me, it's definitely a mix of things. You know, my morning routine of prayer and journaling, that's essential.
Uh-huh.
Helps me center myself, connect with that sense of purpose before the craziness of the day starts. And then also spending time in nature.
Yes.
Disconnecting from the digital world.
Oh.
Just being present.
Yeah.
Those things help me get back to that place of peace and clarity.
Those are great examples.
Yeah.
It's about creating those spaces in your life.
Yes.
Those moments where you can reconnect with yourself, with your values, with that deeper sense of meaning that sometimes gets lost in the busyness of life.
Totally. And I think it's also about surrounding yourself with people who inspire you, who challenge you to be better.
Absolutely. We're not meant to do this alone.
Right.
We need those voices of encouragement.
Yeah.
Those people who can hold us accountable.
Yes.
Those people who remind us
uh-huh.
of who we are and what we're capable of.
It makes such a difference. You know, as we're wrapping up this deep dive, I'm thinking about how leadership at its core isn't really about titles or positions. It's about influence. It's about the impact we have on the people around us.
Yes.
The legacy we leave behind.
Yeah.
And Joshua's story really reminds us that the best kind of leadership, the kind that lasts, it comes from that deep well of faithfulness.
That's beautiful. It's about leading from a place of integrity.
Yeah.
Of unwavering commitment.
Yes.
To what we believe in.
Right. It's about empowering others to lead as well.
Yes. Empowering others to step into those roles.
Yes. To be mentors. To make a difference. So as we sign off here, I want to leave you with this question to think about.
Okay.
You know, that stone served as a physical reminder of the covenant for the Israelites.
Right.
So what serves as a reminder of your commitments today? What will stand as a testament to your values?
Yeah.
Your passions?
Yeah.
The impact you want to make in the world?
That's a great question.
It is something to think about. It's been a great conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
To dive in with us.
It's been a pleasure.
And we'll see you next time.